This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Family or a tragic moment in life, there's a saying our Irish friends have to, life goes on. And today, without Jimmy Garoppolo, life goes on for the 49ers. Look, they're going to still try to win games. Kyle Shanahan, young coach, still needs to win games for his resume. CJ Beathard, the guy you traded up in the draft last year to acquire, the quarterback who, before you even had Jimmy Garoppolo, you said, maybe this guy could be the future. Today is a very big stepping stone spot for this young quarterback and this young team. And I'm interested to see how they can face adversity and try to get a win in the NFL. I know the fan base thinks, oh, the season's over. Maybe some of us, the pundits, the people who love the team, you know, you feel, ah, feels like the season's over, but it's not. And they have to go out and they have to try to win games. And today in San Diego, LA, the StubHub Center, you got to go up against Phillip Rivers, who's, I mean, let's be honest, he's a throwback, probably Hall of Fame quarterback. But this defense that they're facing, it has a lot of holes. So I'm excited to see what CJ Beathard, Kyle Shanahan, and this young 49er team can show today.
Yeah, no Joey Bosa for the LA Chargers. We'll get into all that inactive, active list a little bit later. Of course, you can find us on Facebook and Periscope at 12:15. We'll break down a game. If you have more on 95.7 The Game Twitter page, 95.7 The Game's Facebook page, or of course, if you follow us on Twitter, you will see that link at 12:15 where we break down this game even more. Niners and Chargers down in Carson, California, and many think that it's not a real road game. We see the LA Chargers down there. A lot of road fans come into that stadium, whether it's the Chiefs, the Dolphins, the Broncos, heck, the Eagles last year. People take that stadium over. So CJ Beathard probably will not have to use a silent count today. He probably won't. And you know what? He came in last week in a one throw to George Kittle that got called back with an egregious offensive pass interference call. Would have been interesting to see the Niners down seven at Arrowhead Stadium, but they never got the ball back after Kyle Shanahan, for some reason, decided to go for a field goal, to kick the field goal. I thought he's, you know, you might as well go for it. He's still down two possessions. It's under 5 minutes left, but I guess he just wanted to get out of there alive. The 49ers worked out seven quarterbacks this week, Butcher Boy.
Who? What seven names?
We had Matt Sims.
Ugh.
Kellen Clemens.
Ugh.
Matt Moore said no, so he didn't want to come by and say anything. So he had a bunch of who's who, a bunch of non-sexy names. Not the names that you believe that's going to take you into the future and win games. But the fact that Shanahan and John Lynch are rolling with C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard's one play away, just like Garoppolo was. It's Nick Mullins, and then we're not going to go down this road and talk about Nick Mullins playing quarterback. But that's where we're at now with the 49ers. You look at the quarterback room, it's thin. Their running back room, we did get word that Matt Breida and Alfred Morris should be good to go, but they're questionable. So you would have to run with Mostert as your tailback. Their running back room is thin. Wide receivers, I'm really eager to see what Pierre Garçon does because I think these last 13 games for him are very important when you consider that 49ers have a team option for Pierre Garçon. But really, this is about the quarterback. Do you believe that C.J. Beathard, from what you've seen in the preseason, because we had this conversation early on, after week one of the preseason, you guys are all saying Nick Mullins is the number two. Nick Mullins is the number two. But C.J. Beathard did went over to the locker room. He got hit a lot last year.
Yeah.
Got sacked a lot. But he is a tough guy, and I think he can. If you look at the playbook, I don't think it'll change much. I don't think it'll change much with C.J. Beathard. He'll be under center. He'll be in shotgun. He can run this offense, but can he run it at the level of Jimmy Garoppolo? Probably not. But can he win you some games here in 2018?
Well, and this goes back to the Jimmy Garoppolo question. Is the team around him good enough to offset his flaws? So Jimmy definitely has less flaws than C.J. Beathard, but I don't want to see Beathard throw more than 20 times in this game. If he has to throw more than 20 times, we're down, and it's we're not establishing the run, and we're playing from behind, and that's probably a recipe for a quick loss for this team. Here's on the bright side. San Diego can get reckless. San Diego does have a history of getting hurt, all of their wide receivers. I know their defense, like you said, no Joey Bosa. Can you establish the run? Matt Breida, I mean, he has been a pleasant surprise for the opening part of this season for the 49ers. But I look conversely at our defense and I say, what kind of defense am I going to get? Is this the Jekyll and Hyde defense? Is this week one where you outplayed your opponent for portions of that game? Or is this going to be the team that gave up five straight touchdowns to Kansas City to open the game last week? I just don't know. And I'm looking at these middle linebackers. Fred Warner, I'm looking at Reuben Foster, and I'm saying,
a lot of missed tackles last week.
Can you guys step up and wrap up? And then I look at the running back situation for San Diego, Eckler, Melvin Gordon Jr.
Tough.
They've got a lot of weapons out of the backfield. Who's going to mark up Keenan Allen? Who's going to mark up Mike Williams? You know, this team loves to run crossing routes. You saw last week, crossing routes kill this defense. So I think it's a... There's a lot of questions, Bonte. Right. A lot of questions we're going to get answered today.
And all year long, really, when you look at this situation with the 49ers, can they compete for a playoff spot? Sure, why not? But realistically, can they compete for a playoff spot? Probably not. We saw the Rams on Thursday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings. I believe the 49ers are light years away from catching the LA Rams. That looks like a Super Bowl offense. They are explosive, and they have a game wrecker in Aaron Donald who can take over the game on the defensive side of the football and create turnovers. The Rams are going to win the NFC West. There's no doubt about that. They're the class of the division. So I want to evaluate talent. I want to see who Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead is. I want to see who Reuben Foster is. Can he improve in pass coverage? I have a problem with him in pass coverage. Dukowski Tart, who will not play today, he's out with the shoulder injury. Antoine Exum Jr., let's see what he does. I like what I saw from him last week at Arrowhead Stadium. And, of course, the other side, the cornerback situation with Richard Sherman, he's out for 3 to 4 weeks. And then Akella Witherspoon, he's got to get his confidence up. They were counting on this young man, the second-year player out of Colorado, to really step up and play well. He's long, he's big, but he just, I don't know what it is right now fundamentally. Is it technique? Is it confidence? I don't know, but I want to go back to the quarterback situation because Kyle Shanahan did talk about it shortly after the loss to Kansas City. Here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say about C.J. Beathard.
I mean, I have a lot of confidence in CJ. You know, I think CJ got a lot of experience last year. You know, we liked him a lot coming out of college. He got a lot of experience last year. He got thrown into as tough of a situation as I could imagine putting a rookie quarterback in, and the guy didn't blink. He had a lot of ups and downs throughout his time playing. I thought he started out very well, went through a little bit of slump in the middle, and I thought he ended very well, especially with the win that we got versus the Giants. CJ's as tough and fearless as any quarterback I've ever been around. He's got the arm talent to make every throw. He's extremely smart, and I know he's the type of guy that I know our team believes in also.
Kyle Shanahan talking about the confidence he has in his second-year quarterback out of Iowa, but you made a little face. You had a little smirk on your face, Butcher Boy, when he said he has the arm talent to make every throw on the football field. You don't think so?
Well, no, it's not that I don't think so. I just think the game plan that Kyle lays out today will dictate how much faith he has in C.J. Beathard's arm. This team, for whatever reason, has decided that they're going to throw the ball more than run the ball, at least early in games, and I think that that's to their own detriment. Right now, one of the keys to this offense is running the ball. Like, I don't really want to see C.J. Beathard throw the ball more than 20-something times in today's game because that means he's dropping back to pass. He's going to have to make lots of decisions. He's going to have to make checks and audibles at the line. Do I really want to put him on the road in that type of environment when my wide receiver situation is just so in flux? You know, is Richie James going to suit up? Is Marquise Goodwin going to play? What kind of play am I going to get from Pierre Garçon? And then, once again, every week it seems like the 49ers, well, they trot out Solomon Thomas, the number three pick, who they traded down, okay, to get. You're going up against another draft pick from that class, and today it's Mike Williams. All right. You're telling me this 49er offense couldn't use the 6'4", 220-pound wide receiver from Clemson who Deshaun Watson used as an outlet and a safety yep. blanket all throughout his career, just throwing balls up in the secondary. So it's just there's a lot that needs to be shown today from this coaching staff. Again, we bring up Robert Saleh. He's a guy, I don't think he has a lot in the cupboard to work with,
right.
But I think schematically and elder statesman-wise, is he the guy I want calling shots from my defense moving forward? I don't think he has a lot of playmakers, but schematically, I'm not seeing the mesh with the type of players we have. Stop running press. Stop running press when you don't have press covers.
Well, he's running a lot of cover one and cover three, and they come up and press, but they drop back into the zone. This is a zone defense. This is a defense that plays, I would say, 75 to 80% zone defense. And, you know, when you have a guy like Richard Sherman who understands his defense, sure, it can work at times, but he's not out there.
No.
And he's not the same Richard Sherman that we saw in Seattle even just a year ago. He's dealing with that Achilles tendon. He's dealing with the calf strain. I think he overcompensates for that Achilles tendon. That's just my opinion. I'm no doctor, but he doesn't look right. You see the way he's bailing so early in the play. Richard Sherman usually would press a little bit and then bail, but he's opening up his hips and just retreating right away to get to his zone. Reuben Foster, his awareness, his when he's hooking back into that zone, when he's guarding to hook the zone, when he's got the middle of the field there, Butcher Boy, he's just not getting around. And in man coverage, I have a little issue with Reuben Foster. He's just not there. I would like to see the 49ers maybe use him more as an edge rusher. When you have problems getting pressure on the quarterback, you're not going to blitz and leave these DBs in man coverage. How about playing some games here? Have Reuben Foster line up at the Leo position. Maybe run some stunts with DeForest Buckner and Reuben Foster. I don't know, but you got to do something to try to generate a pass rush.
I've noticed that when the play is in front of him, he's really good in pass coverage. But when he has to turn his back and turn his hips, he really struggles. Now, I think a lot of young linebackers struggle at that particular aspect of the game. You brought up the secondary. And last year, and I'm going to keep hammering this home, you took Solomon Thomas and you passed on Jamal Adams. You couldn't use Jamal Adams in the secondary. This year, you took Mike McGlinchey, and that looks like a really good pick. But another guy later in the draft who was sitting there for both Bay Area teams was Derwin James. Mm. And Derwin James is going to be in this game today. He's got two sacks. I think he's got 19 pass covers.
He's got a pick.
Covers.
He made the pick last week at L.A.
Yeah,
it was impressive.
He looks like a real versatile player. I don't know if he's Troy Polamalu-like, but he can do a lot of different things on the field, and I like the way he roams the secondary. I'm looking at a young player in Adrian Colbert, and I just don't know where he is and what he is right now. He's a guy I was so enthusiastic about to close last year, and he hasn't taken that next step forward. We bring up wrapping up and sure tackling, right. Bonte. He's a guy that I'm looking at, and I go, you've got to make more tackles. I know that sounds very basic, but this team's missed so many tackles. I think third most in the NFL. It's unacceptable for a young defense to miss tackles.
Yeah. Nah, this defense is missing a lot of tackles. Week one, it didn't start off well in Minnesota. Week two against the Lions, they missed more tackles. And then last week, your middle linebackers combined to miss 10 tackles, Reuben Foster and Fred Warner. We'll have much, much more. Grant Cohn from the Santa Rosa Press Democrat will join us at about 10:30. We will take you up to 11 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Also, we will take your phone calls if you have questions about C.J. Beathard, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and the 49ers. 888-957-9570. It's Joe Shatsky, the Butcher Boy. I am Bonte Hill on a Sunday morning right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Overtime with Bonte Hill and Joe Shatsky.
Good morning, everybody, on this Sunday morning. Bonte Hill, Joe Shatsky, the Butcher Boy, here at 95.7 The Game. We are taking you up to 11 o'clock, breaking down 49ers football here on 95.7 The Game. And, of course, the Niners are playing the Chargers down in Carson, California. Really could be a home game, but I wouldn't be shocked if there was a lot of red and gold. But the most important thing here is C.J. Beathard is now the starting quarterback after Jimmy Garoppolo tore the ACL in his left knee last week in Kansas City. C.J. Beathard did play in five games and led the 49ers to their first win last year against the New York Giants. Of course, they came in with Ben McAdoo, Eli Manning. That whole situation was a mess. Mm-hmm. But C.J. Beathard did play tough. He took a lot of hits. He won over the locker room with his toughness here. But look, you don't win games with toughness. You win games by making throws,
yeah,
by being able to deliver. And the word I used all week was serviceable. Can he be serviceable? But if this 49ers team want to win games, if they don't want to pick in the top 10, he's going to have to be more than serviceable. What are your realistic expectations of C.J. Beathard, Butcher Boy?
Can he complete 60% of his passes? I mean, something very low like that. Like, that was one of my big problems with him, was accuracy, decisiveness before the ball was even hiked. I call that pre-snap mentals. He just didn't line the team up into winning plays. It was something that I noticed time and time again. And I think it carried over into the preseason. That was one of my big takeaways, was he just cannot avoid the big negative play, which puts this team in second and long, third and long situations. I think part of that in the preseason was playing with the backups. You know, this line is already thin to begin with, and to play with backups. backup lineman on a thin team, that's just not a winning recipe. So I'm looking at Joe Staley. I'm looking at Mike McGlinchey. Can you guys keep these edge rushers? I know Bosa's not playing, but right. Ingram's still going to be there. Can you keep them off the field? And then can you attack this secondary? Jason Verrett is not playing today. Can you go after that guy?
Yeah, he's out for the year. He tore something up in the offseason. Chargers
Achilles?
Also, Hunter, I think it might have been a knee. I have to look that up, but he's out for the year. Hunter Henry's out for the year, mm-hmm. the serviceable tight end, more than serviceable, so they had to bring Antonio Gates back. Look, the Chargers are struggling a bit defensively. They did get smoked by the Rams last week. They got beat deep. They got beat short. Casey Hayward got beat deep on by Brandon Cooks. Maybe the 49ers can put Marquise Goodwin in a situation to line up against a Casey Hayward to try to beat him deep and take the top off the defense, which this offense has really lacked explosiveness.
Yeah.
When they lost Jerick McKinnon before week one, they lost some explosion. Pierre Garçon doesn't have that explosion. So I'm looking at guys who can give you explosive plays. Obviously, Marquise Goodwin gets hurt early in Minnesota, doesn't play against the Detroit Lions, so you don't see much from him. They need Marquise Goodwin to really take that top off the defense. But I'm also looking at Dante Pettis. I know he's a rookie, and it's a lot to ask for a guy who just came out of Washington. But he's one of the guys who I believe is capable of giving us offense explosive plays. Richie James Jr., who has that wiggle, that quickness. Trent Taylor's not separating from anybody in the slot.
No, he's having a down year.
He's having a bad year. So maybe Richie James Jr. can be that guy to give you some wiggle in the slot position. By the way, everybody set your fantasy lineups. I know everybody's going crazy about fantasy football. Let me ask you this. Would you start C.J. Beathard on your fantasy team today against the L.A. Chargers?
Absolutely not.
No?
I just wouldn't. No, no. There's just too many other players out there. Andy Dalton can be swooped up. Ryan Tannehill against a porous New England defense. I mean, I had Jimmy Garoppolo in my fantasy league, and he went down. And yeah, I'm not starting C.J. Beathard. I just can't do it. I mean, the number one target right now for the team offensively through the air would be George Kittle.
Right.
Correct? That would be a guy that, if you haven't already had him, I mean, most leagues, someone's got him swooped up. But George Kittle's the guy I'm looking at for C.J. Beathard to really, you know, be the rock for him. I mean, he's been a big playmaker deep down the field, but can he be the underneath guy that they need today? And can you incorporate Celek into the passing game? I know that's not a sexy name per se, but he's a guy that definitely can help move the chains and keep the offense in the right down and distance.
And don't forget, George Kittle and C.J. Beathard play together at Iowa. They worked out this past offseason. Trent Taylor, George Kittle, and C.J. Beathard out in Nashville, Tennessee. So there's a rapport there mm-hmm. with C.J. Beathard and George Kittle. I do believe that he'll be his safety blanket, his safety net there. So really it's just looking at the outside and where can you get explosive plays. Now, Matt Breida is a nice player. He's going to make some plays in a run game. Mike McGlinchey you brought up, and I don't want to go too deep into this, but Mike McGlinchey, if you look back and look at the pass plays, his pass blocking, he struggles a bit against speed. That's the one knock on him. Now, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
He's only played three regular season games.
D4
went after him. He also went after Joe Staley, and Joe Staley looked like, you know, Father Time was coming up on him, catching up to him in that Kansas City game. But really, Mike McGlinchey in a run game, he's powerful. He's a mauler. But pass blocking speed guys give him issues. So it's a blessing in disguise that Joey Bosa, I should just say a blessing that Joey Bosa is playing today against the 49ers.
When I look at the right tackle draft history of the 49ers, Kwame Harris, Trent Brown, I mean, these guys
always. Kwame Harris, tell me?
They struggled. Struggled for many years. I mean, even in the 2011 season when the 49ers took off themselves, Anthony Davis was kind of a Jekyll and Hyde type of a character. One week he would dominate in the run game, the next week he would struggle. So I'm already seeing a lot of positive impact from Mike McGlinchey. The bigger question is, do you think Weston Richburg, the center that they acquired in free agency, trading Daniel Kilgore after giving him a re-sign, do you think he has been a positive acquisition for this 49er offense?
So far, so good. I mean, I know the Minnesota game, there was a bit of a struggle. Mm-hmm. They had to shuffle things on the right side. Of course, Mike Person and Joshua Garnett gets hurt in that Minnesota game. Mike McGlinchey had to slide. He has to slide down to right guard. Gary Gilliam, I believe, was playing right tackle in that first game. So from what I've seen so far, Weston Richburg has been okay.
Yeah.
A lot of the sacks that Jimmy Garoppolo took, especially in that Detroit game, was due to him holding on to the ball too long.
Yes.
That's on Jimmy Garoppolo. The last sack he took in that Detroit Lions game, Gerard Davis comes up and Jimmy Garoppolo has to throw it away. Yeah. Instead, he's taking unnecessary punishment, but looking at the double-A gaps in the interior of that offensive line, I have no big issues with Weston Richburg so far.
Yeah, my big thing to look for today and the nuance, the details, how can they receive the snap. And it seems like such a basic thing, but when you have a new center, a new quarterback, just the functionality of the offense, getting the ball from under center, like that is a big thing for a lot of young quarterbacks, just getting the ball to be hiked properly. And I know that sounds super basic, but Bonte, that's something I'm going to be definitely right. looking at, because this team can ill afford to turn the ball over in any situation with a backup quarterback. I mean, realistically, the recipe for a victory today would be Phillip Rivers turns the ball over multiple right. times and the 49ers don't. So something like a botched snap in any situation would really hamper their win probability.
Well, looking at the 49ers and turnovers defensively, they're not forcing many turnovers.
No.
Not one interception yet. And I think they could threaten the Oakland Raiders from a year ago. Ugh. Remember, it took the Raiders 12 games to come up with their first pick, Navarro Bowman there against the Denver Broncos. I don't know if anybody on this 49ers team is capable of picking anything off, especially without Richard Sherman. You're looking at the depth chart of the 49ers against this explosive, highly explosive L.A. Chargers offense. We know they're going to bring the offense to the table, but they're going to have to roll out Kaywan Williams, who Dante Whitner will pop an eye on the afternoon of light this week. Dante Whitner said something like, you know, Kaywan Williams can't really play in the base on the outside. He doesn't play outside the numbers.
I was listening
really
to that.
Good in the slot, yeah. Really good in the slot, physical, plays a run well, but he can't play outside. So who are we going to see outside? It's Jimmy Ward, the embattled first-round pick, former first-round pick. Really, is he a safety? Is he a corner? Is he a nickel corner? Is he a strong safety? What is Jimmy Ward? And can they count on this guy to give them good snaps?
Do we know if Tavarius Moore is actually going to be suited up today? Because he's a guy that I don't know anything about. I saw him in glimpses during the preseason. This is somebody that the organization thought highly enough to draft. I'd like to see him out there. I mean, it's not like these cornerbacks can't come out for a couple of plays to catch their breath. It's not like Jimmy Ward is a shutdown corner. It's not like Okello's having a breakthrough season. So I think it's going to be all hands on deck at the secondary slots. And then, you know, do I need to play DJ Reed more? Do I need to play Exum in the slot? I don't know.
I like Exum Jr. At the safety position. He's going to get a lot of reps today. Look, this Chargers offense, you're probably going to have to outscore these guys, right? You're probably going to have to outscore these guys because it's going to be tough to slow them down. And can C.J. Beathard lead this offense?
Yeah.
You know, can he score some points with this offense? Now, even with Jimmy Garoppolo, this team struggled in the red zone.
Yeah.
They struggled to put up touchdowns. They were settling for too many field goals, and that's what killed this team. But now you have a backup quarterback. You know, they averaged, I believe, 16 points a game with C.J. Beathard at quarterback a year ago. Oof. Now, the weapons, I believe, is slightly better.
Yeah.
I think Marquise Goodwin is a better receiver at this point of his career
Kittle
than he was a year
emerged.
Ago. George Kittle has improved. Pierre Garçon is now healthy. He was out. Remember, he got knocked out in the Philadelphia game the day before the Jimmy Garoppolo trade with the neck injury. But the L.A. Chargers offense, I don't know how this defense can slow them down. Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams, as you mentioned. Phillip Rivers is slinging it all around. Eckler, Melvin Gordon. Here's the thing, what I did see. And I think this is where Robert Saleh is going to have to get creative on the defensive side of the football. The left side of the Chargers offensive line, Russell Okung and Dan Feeney, they got toasted last week in L.A. Aaron Donald had his way. Sue had his way. Brockers had his way. You can attack that side of the offensive line. Russell Okung has been highly overrated for so long. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was with Seattle, Denver. He's not the guy that everybody thought he was coming out of Oklahoma State. So what should the 49ers do? Should they overload that side with the Buckner, Armstead, maybe get Reuben Foster there rushing a passer? Because that is the one weak spot of the L.A. Chargers, Butcher Boy.
Well, and he's a guy that we have a lot of familiarity with because of the ties to Denver and Seattle. And they've had how many practice times with Denver specifically?
Yeah, the scrimmages.
Yeah, and they play him in the exhibition series every year. Russell Okung, if you look at the matchup, Armstead has actually had his most success in the NFL against Russell Okung. So that's a matchup that I'm going to be looking at. And then the San Diego Chargers shrewdly picked up Mike Pouncey, and I think he's been a really big upgrade for them at the center spot. So I want to see DeForest Buckner get after it today. Barksdale, I think, can be beat on the right side as well. Question is it Cassius Marsh? Because he doesn't have enough bendability to get around that guy. That's where I want to see them show some multiplicity in the blitz packages and put Reuben Foster on the outside and let him go after the quarterback. You got to get pressure today. I mean, that's absolutely.
We said that every game. We said that every game with this team.
I know.
Armstead, Buckner, Thomas, where are you at? Julian Taylor, will he suit up? The young man out of Temple. They have to get a pass rush. Mahomes last week had all day to throw.
Yeah.
And he missed throws. Let's be honest here. He missed the throw to Tyreek Hill. He missed the throw to Sammy Watkins. The Chiefs could have put a 50-burger on the 49ers, and they took it easy in the second half, in my opinion.
I would agree.
The Detroit Lions got hot late in that game. Stafford had all day to throw, and he missed easy throws. Yeah. Stafford was missing throws all over the place. So the 49ers, the lack of pass rush, it's alarming.
But you know what, Bonte? Honestly, if you look at the Kansas City game, I thought there were multiple third and long situations where the defense just gave up a gaffe that you just can't give up. Early in the game, third and 17, they give up a screen.
Is that the play Eric Armstead got bullied down
horrible.
The field? 30?
And it's an inexcusable play by your linebackers to not sniff that play out, number one. Later on in the first half, very crucial third and almost 20, you give up a horrible, egregious pass interference
in the
red zone. And for me, that might have been a questionable call, but you just can't give that play up. You know they're going to do that. So today, I want to make sure that this team, they were in third and long situations. They couldn't close the deal. Offensively, can you convert on third and long? Defensively, can you get off the field? And I go back to the basics, tackling and getting off the field in third and long situations. And that's where I'm expecting, hopefully, Robert Saleh. Guys, let's not over-anticipate, overplay on these big third and long situations. You saw these linebackers time and time again over-pursue, overplay. Let's dial it back a little. Let's play within ourselves. Play smarter football on defense on third and long.
And wrap up and tackle, because Melvin Gordon is a beast right now.
I thought
coming out he was just another guy out of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You think about guys like Brian Calhoun and Michael Bennett. Ron Dane didn't really, you know, he flashed later in his career, but really just Wisconsin running backs wasn't getting it done. This guy looks like a special specimen. I mean, this guy can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yes,
he's breaking tackles in between the tackles. He is a beast. And then Austin Ekeler, this backup running back, they use him in a slot.
They're using
him
together.
They use him together. They
put
him on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
This guy has wiggle.
Mm-hmm.
He has speed. He is a problem here. So Fred Warner and Ruben Foster really got their work cut out for them today down in L.A. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. What is the key to victory for the 49ers today? How well does C.J. Beathard have to play? You know, what's reasonable expectations for C.J. Beathard? I want to hear from the audience here on that one's 888-957-9570.
And there's two names that we haven't brought up in the passing game that I think are just, you got to keep them from going deep. It's Tyrell Williams and it's Travis Benjamin.
Oh, they're going to go deep. They're going to take shots.
I mean, if you saw the play with Tyreek Hill last week where he just jumped up and Adrian Colbert kind of backpedaled and didn't go forward and he didn't jump and try to high point the ball at its apex, very disappointing. If I am the San Diego Los Angeles Chargers, that is an area in the game I'm saying, Phillip, take shots down the field. And then who's going to stop this big tight end, Antonio Gates? I know he's 75 years old. He doesn't run well, but there is nobody who has better hands and better feel for where the soft spot is in the coverage than this OG first ballot Hall of Famer, Antonio Gates. Hey, Bonte, I'm telling you, I love Antonio Gates. If we were talking about some of the guys in the history of the game who I will ride and die with, Antonio Gates, Larry Fitzgerald, ageless wonders. I love Antonio Gates. I'm rooting for this guy, not necessarily today, just in general. He's a guy I actually love the way he plays, what he means for that Charger organization. He's a stud, absolute stud.
One of the early guys like Tony Gonzalez to go from basketball to football.
Yes.
Remember, he was at Kent State.
Yes.
I believe they made the Elite Eight. Antonio Gates decides, you know what, I'm going to play tight end in the NFL. And he had some big-time years, Hall of Fame-type years.
Yes.
Antonio Gates is one of the best to do it at the tight end position here. You play fantasy football, right, Butcher Boy?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm in too many leagues.
Yeah, I think I beat you last week, Gianna and I. I think
oh, is that a humble
you.
Brag?
Yeah, it was a little humble brag. But I want to ask you, you know, we could answer any question here. It doesn't have to be 49ers related. But from a 650 on the text line, would you start Amari Cooper or Kenny Stills?
Kenny Stills. I mean, I have him in like three different leagues. The guy going deep over the middle, Tannehill is actually taking shots. Porous New England defense. Amari Cooper, I go back to the Jekyll and Hyde. What is he? I don't know. Like, is he going to get 10 targets or three?
How disappointing has he been if you're a Raider fan or if you're affiliated with the Oakland Raiders? You see the big Thursday night game last year he had against Kansas City. Didn't do much after that. You see the big game he had in week two against the Denver Broncos. And then last week he's just quitting on routes. He's dropping passes. Amari Cooper has been very, very disappointing in these last two seasons.
Similarly to Solomon Thomas, when you take a guy in the top five, you expect Pro Bowl, 10-year starter impact. And you're just not getting that from Amari Cooper. He's not getting safety doubled. You know, he's not allowing double bracket help so that he can open up things for other people. He doesn't catch the ball over the middle. But I'll tell you this, I'd like to get him in red and gold, to be honest with you. I know that the Niners and Raiders never make trades, but he's the type of player that I think would thrive in another system. I think he would do really well with Kyle Shanahan.
Is it the system or just heart for Amari Cooper?
It's a combination. There's sometimes guys need a new change of scenery. I mean, you saw with Michael Crabtree when he was done with the 49ers.
Right.
He just needed a new place, a new fit, a new setup. And I think the same can be said for Amari Cooper. I'm not willing to sell all my stock on Amari Cooper Island. If I'm the right team, the right situation, like the Dallas Cowboys, they couldn't use Amari Cooper right now. Smokescreen, right. Setting things up. I mean, just a dynamic playmaker for them. He's never going to be Julio Jones. He's not an A1 type of a receiver. He's not DeAndre Hopkins even. But I definitely think he is a strong, strong number two. And on a team that's lacking playmakers like the 49ers, like the Dallas Cowboys, why wouldn't you want to go after someone like Amari Cooper?
Yeah, no, this isn't a big time. Amari Cooper will be nice in this offense. And the Niners need playmakers.
Yes.
They need playmakers all over the place. Receiving position and the wide receiver room. Next year is going to be a lot of question marks. What happens with Pierre Garçon? Could he be playing for his career with the 49ers?
Could he
be
moved?
Last 13 games? Could he be moved before the trading deadline? Richard Sherman, what's going to happen there? Because look, everybody was psyched up about him signing here, but he obviously wasn't right. He got nicked up early in preseason with the hamstring injury. Now he's got a calf issue. Now he's got a heel issue. Now on top of the Achilles tendon that I don't believe is 100%. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that Richard Sherman is 100%. What happens there? This team starts losing and losing. They lose today. Then they lose next week to Arizona. Then you got the Monday night game at Green Bay in Lambeau Field. What are they going to do with Richard Sherman? Because they could get out of that deal after the season, but would the 49ers actually look to trade Richard Sherman in season?
No, and I don't think you're in a position to do so because you don't have any cornerbacks.
No,
you have nobody you rely on. And I kept hammering this home in the offseason. I like the Richard Sherman signing, but it's a roll of the dice, and you're expecting him to anchor your defense. He just can't physically do that right now. They should have paired that up with a Rashawn Melvin, with a Tremaine Johnson. Like, you needed two veteran cornerbacks. Clearly, last year, when you had Dante Johnson struggling, when you had Rashard Robinson struggling, you saw Okella Witherspoon really come on, but can you expect that from him when the year prior, Rashard Robinson was the guy, hey, he's coming on. Could he be a number one? And you found out quickly, no. Not only is he not a number one, he's getting picked on more egregiously than any other cornerback in the game and led the NFL when we traded him to the Jets, led the NFL in pass interference calls. And I'm seeing the same thing play out with Okello, and it's extremely frustrating from a fan perspective.
Yeah, I remember Rashard Robinson, the first play of the preseason in 2017. Tyreek the Streak Hill goes down the right sideline for a fade route. Alex Smith throws a deep ball over Rashard Robinson, and that was just a sign of things to come. They had to figure out this cornerback position. And really, we could talk about John Lynch if you want to and evaluate his drafts so far. The first two drafts of John Lynch's tenure. There's a lot of question marks. Adrian Colbert right now. A lot of fans were jacked up about Adrian Colbert coming into the season. I don't get that same vibe from the fan base anymore.
No.
Tukwaski Tart, who's not a John Lynch guy, but he's a bulky guy. I'm not high on him. But also, you look at guys like Solomon Thomas. You look at guys like Mike McGlinchey. There's a lot to evaluate here with John Lynch here. And some of these picks just aren't hitting right away. Now, it's a young team. A very, very young team. But at some point, they got to grow up and play ball.
I think it's the combination of the draft picks not all hitting, and I don't expect them all to hit, but when you pair that up and you marry it with the free agency moves, Jerick McKinnon, big zero. I'm sorry, you were relying on a guy, and I get it. Kyle loves him. Kyle was going to game plan the entire offense around him. He was never a number one in Minnesota. The guy was in the league 4 or 5 years. They are looking for a running back the year prior. Acquired Dalvin Cook, and they didn't think that highly of him, but yet you did. That doesn't make sense to me. Malcolm Smith gave him a ton of money to be a leader. The guy can't even get on the field. Last week, first time we've ever seen him, and he's a big zero. I don't know what he does. I mean, he does nothing for me on defense. And then I go through the rest of it. Marquise Goodwin, we didn't see anything. Then Jimmy Garoppolo shows up, total different player. But in year two, after giving him a very shrewd extension, he's already got the injury. I'm going, oh, man. I mean, that's not looking good right now. You re-sign Kilgore on the line, on a thin line. Then you trade him away. Why? I would have kept him. This line could use a guard-center combination player. You bring in Weston Richburg. He's been serviceable. But I think the jury's still out on that one as well. So when I couple all of those, and then I look at the Solomon Thomas pick, and you know, I hate to dwell on it, but it is a very important part of why they are struggling. When I have the number two pick, I am expecting to get a difference maker in the draft.
Cortez Kennedy, Jerome Brown, Warren Sapp. I mean, you talk about the greatest of the greats at the D-tackle position. Instead, they took a guy who is still developing. We don't know if he's an inside guy or an outside guy. We just don't know. He's not playing on third down. He's getting limited snaps. You just can't miss on a pick like that. And then you think about who was in that draft.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson. Patrick Mahomes.
Christian McCaffrey.
Jamal Adams. Oh,
Mike
list
Williams,
goes on,
who you're going to see today.
And on and on. It's not looking good right now for Solomon Thomas. We're going to talk much more about Solomon Thomas, the defensive line, T.J. Beathard. What's your expectations for today's game between the 49ers and Chargers? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Give Butcher Boy Abonte a call here at 95.7 a game.
Now back to Overtime with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Hanging out with you guys here on a Sunday morning, getting you ready for NFL football. Football's kicking off in about 11 minutes here. We got a lot of morning games highlighted by the Patriots and Miami Dolphins. Will the Dolphins remain undefeated? They have to go to Gillette Stadium and try to knock off those juggernauts in the AFC East. We know Josh Gordon will make his debut with the Patriots today. I know the 49ers, a lot of fans wanted the 49ers to go after Josh Gordon. Didn't happen, but there's another player out there who the 49ers potentially can get in the trade. And is it even worth it? Is it worth it to go after, say, a Le'Veon Bell? Well, I would say yes, but you got to remember that he's a free agent after the season. And if you bring in a Le'Veon Bell to this team that's currently constructed, they don't look like they're ready to win. Now, I don't know how much of a priority winning is for Le'Veon Bell. Seems like he wants his money, and you know, he should. He's 26. He's got a lot of miles on his legs. Already had a major leg injury. He's been one of the best running backs in the last 4 years, no doubt about it. But would you, if you're John Lynch, put yourselves in a GM chair, and you know you need playmakers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are dangling Le'Veon Bell. Would you go out and make the move and take the risk to bring in Le'Veon Bell, knowing that he's a free agent after the season?
It's about how much it costs me, the return on that investment. So if they're asking for a third and a player, absolutely. If they're looking for our second round pick, which I'm going to assume is basically a high first round pick, I'm gonna be, you know, more hesitant to part with such pick because I don't want to pay all of that draft capital for a running back knowing that A, he could walk in free agency, and B, that's bad value for a running back. If you look at the way the NFL is set up, you don't allocate that type of draft capital or money into running backs. Now, money is no option, and this is a team that just desperately lacks playmakers, and teams have no one to account for. There's absolutely no superstar player that they have to account for on the 49ers offense. So you definitely need players like him. The other question that I have is, you know, this is a guy who could be suspended. And if he gets paid, how will he react? You know, when I worry about especially the running back position, allocating that type of money, giving up the draft capital, I have to ask myself, is this a guy who, when he gets paid, is going to bring it? Or is this a guy who, when he gets paid, is going to mail it in? I don't know. I don't know Le'Veon Bell. It's hard for me to handicap the situation. But I'm willing to take that risk if I know, A, we're going to be able to sign him, and right. B, it's not going to cost me more than a third-round pick. I'm telling you, Bonte, I cannot give up more than a third-round pick. And I know that sounds like I'm being shrewd, but you have to deal with the hand of leverage.
Yeah, no, you need all the assets you can if you're the 49ers.
Exactly.
When you're looking at the depth chart here, they don't have a lot of bodies here. They're not deep in really any position other than the defensive line. The secondary is now thin. The linebacker room is small. The wide receiver room, you got a couple guys there, but really – you have some guys who you can't count on. I don't think this team now is counting on a Kendrick Bourne, who I was high on coming into the season.
No.
I don't think they're ready to count on a Dante Pettis, who is a rookie. Richie James Jr., he's been on the practice squad, and he's, you know, been in the preseason. He's a nice player, but you need depth. So I don't think you should get rid of any assets. And here's the thing, too, after the season, the 49ers will go into the offseason with about $70 million to play with. And then you never know what happens with Garcon or Richard Sherman. But you can have a lot of money there to spend and make some moves. Because now, you know, next year will be the year three of Lynch and Shanahan. Mm-hmm. And when they got the job, Butcher Boy, and they got the six-year deals, I said, okay. In my head, I was like, they need to be winning by year four. But when they got the quarterback and Jimmy Garoppolo, when they acquired Jimmy Garoppolo from New England, everything was expedited. All of a sudden, the expectations were, you know what? This is not an expansion team. This is a team that can win 8 to 9 games and possibly challenge for a wild card berth. Yeah. Now Jimmy Garoppolo's out, and we're seeing that without Jimmy Garoppolo, this is still a very flawed roster. You look at all the rosters in the NFL. Even in the NFC West, you look at the Seahawks, top to bottom. Do they have more talent than the 49ers?
Yes, because they still have Bobby Wagner. They still have Russell Wilson. They still have, you know, Earl Thomas, even though I know he's kind of on the fritz there. They do. I think just because of those players are more accomplished than any players you have on your roster. But the rest of the roster is very bad.
What about Arizona?
Like Doug Baldwin.
Arizona. Their defense, they have a lot of talent on that defense.
And Chandler Jones leads the NFL in sacks over the last 3 years.
Hassan Reddick is a nice player. Yes. They got
David Johnson was an MVP candidate just 2 years ago.
Right. And then you look at the Rams. There's no doubt the Rams are more talented. The 49ers, if you look around the league, the Cleveland Browns are playing in Oakland, California today.
Yeah.
Their roster's more talented than the 49ers roster.
I would agree.
So if they want to catch the Rams, because that's a team right now that's the class of the NFC West, they're going to have to spend some money this offseason and maybe buy some explosive playmakers. Because now, look, it's only been 2 years, but can you really count on John Lynch to really bring in those playmakers as a GM?
Well, my other question is, Kyle needs to come off of his stubbornness that he can scheme everything up. That's one thing that's really frustrating for me is that I think that Kyle has so much faith, which is fine. He has so much faith in his own system that he thinks he can make the most out of the least. And at the end of the day, you need guys that can win 50-50 balls. You need guys that other teams fear. Like, that's part of the NFL. You do not win with journeymen in the NFL. You win with stars. You look at Philadelphia, they don't survive the loss of their starting quarterback if they didn't have a star-laden defense.
Yep.
If they didn't have an unbelievably elite offensive line. And if they didn't go out and make a shrewd trade to go get Jeffries, the wide receiver who was disgruntled in Chicago, and then extend him in the middle of the season. That's the type of template move that I'm looking to make with a Le'Veon Bell. Swing on a guy, bring him into your system, get him to buy in, get him on a deal, and try not to give up too much draft capital in doing so. So, like, for example, I'm seeing now that Jason LaCanfora is reporting, oh, Le'Veon Bell can be had for a second rounder. All right. It doesn't mean you have to give up a second rounder. Give up a third and a fourth over multiple years. Give up 2/3 and fourths, but don't give up a second because next year's second is going to be a high first, essentially. And I need that player for my team. You know, last year you got, with the 31st pick overall, Reuben Foster.
Right.
Are you willing to part with Reuben Foster? Now,
no.
That doesn't mean you're going to draft him every year, but what I'm saying is that's the type of value that falls to you late in this draft. Le'Veon Bell himself was drafted in the second round. Do I want to give up a second rounder? I don't think I'm in the position to do so. This team is not one player away, but I really need Le'Veon Bell, so I'm in a catch-22.
Right, Le'Veon Bell opens up so much more for
Absolutely.
Your offense. Gives you a one-on-one coverage on the outside, of course. 8-man box, you get the play-action pass rolling, hit the tight end there. Le'Veon Bell is an absolute game-changer, a game-breaker. Look, this is a move that last week before the game when Adam Schefter tweeted it out, we said, go get Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
Go get him. And then when Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, it's like, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't panic here and just stand pat for a second and see what you have here. 888-957-9570. Let's go for a little, I guess it's a little wake and bake with Danker in San Francisco. He wants to talk Le'Veon Bell here on 95.7 The Game. Danker, what's going on, man? You're on overtime.
My guys, what's up?
What up, brother?
What up? Okay, so you're getting it, Le'Veon Bell. I know it's bad timing, but I could see it could be great timing as far as maturating him into the system, right? You pretty much sell him on the Bay Area, court him now that way, because it's going to be a lot of competition if he hits the market. So even if he tests the waters, knowing what he has here, you know, it would be hard for him to turn away. And the other thing is, it's a good safety blanket. And as far as the defense, yeah, they're going to be concerned with him all the time. Remember when Eric Johnson went to the Pro Bowl with Jeff Garcia?
I mean, too.
You have to have that guy who you know is going to get some wiggle room, and that will open it up for Kittle and other receivers. So I'm saying the only thing that scares me is Pittsburgh might not want to trade to San Francisco because they don't want to give us the sixth Super Bowl. So that's a little sketch. Other than that, you know what I'm saying? That's a, you know how it is, because we win Super Bowls. Those franchises, they don't think like that, but you know how we roll.
I love it, Danny.
Give me a little bogger, Danny.
You know me. We make it happen. All right, guys, have a good one.
You
Thanks,
too, man. Thank you for the phone call, man. Dacre D with a little wake and bake there. Talking Love Y'all Bell. By the way,
he got hit hard.
That's he's hitting it hard this morning.
He got hit hard, wake and bake. Hey, you know what I would say, though, on this one, Bonte? The Steelers and the 49ers have actually showed a propensity to trade with one another.
Vance McDonald
comes to mind.
By the way, that stiff arm last week on Chris Conte.
Where's that been? Where's that been his whole career, though, bro?
How wicked was that?
It was ridiculous.
I didn't know he had that in him.
Chris Conte, the Cal product, has just been abused on Monday Night Football for about 4 or 5 years now. But what I would say is that if I'm the 49ers and I have someone like Jimmy Ward, okay, or if I have someone even like Jaquaski Tartt, and I don't know if you could trade injured players, but I would be looking to move somebody from the secondary to offset the draft capital that would be needed to acquire Le'Veon Bell. Maybe it's Eric Armstead. Maybe it's Solomon Thomas. Maybe I do part with Solomon Thomas. It's like they have Ironhead Hayward's kid on that front for Pittsburgh, but they need defenders as well. And, you know, there's always this belief that a former first rounder can be polished up and can be good in your system. So I would like to see the 49ers package multiple thirds or multiple fourths or whatever it's going to take, plus a player or two to go get Le'Veon Bell. And if it's Pierre Garçon or someone like that, I'm more willing to do it as well.
888-957-9570. Good points, Butcher Boy. Want to get in here to talk Le'Veon Bell, Kyle Shanahan. Open phone lines, 888-957-9570. But first, let's pay some bills. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com station. A city situation here at 95.7 The Game. The boys from Overtime, Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, Bonte Hill, taking you up until 11 o'clock. Grant Cohn from the Santa Rosa Press Democrat will join us at 10:30, breaking down this football game. He wrote an interesting piece in the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, believing that, hey, here are some keys to where the 49ers can win. He talked about the terrific running game. Mm-hmm. He talked about the Chargers defense. Now, the Chargers, week one, got cooked by the same Kansas City Chiefs team that cooked the 49ers last week. Week two, they go to Buffalo, and they beat a rookie quarterback in Josh Allen. And then last week, they play the L.A. Rams. I don't think anybody's stopping the L.A. Rams this year.
No.
Offensively, when you look at Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, who seems to run for 8 yards every freaking play, and then you have Brandon Cooks. I mean, this team is explosive, Super Bowl explosive. And I'm afraid when they come to Levi's Stadium on Sunday Night Football on NBC, they're going to want to put on a show. They're going to want to embarrass Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers here. That offense is for real, but we're not talking Rams. We're talking Niners and Chiefs. Go ahead, Butcher Boy. You got some thoughts here?
Well, basically, when you look at explosive, unbelievable offenses like the Los Angeles Rams have, like the Kansas City Chiefs have, there's this argument I'm hearing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.